she chose Holy, Holy, Holy. Isn't she cute? Look at this outfit.
Good morning. 2 weeks ago, we're walking out the door, and Brenda's along with us, and she says, "What's your favorite hymn?" I said, "Holy, holy, holy." She's, "Oh, great, that's at the beginning. You can say something about it." And and off she goes, and here I am. Now, if you're expecting, I wish I had it, a great inspirational statement and faith-filled, that's not going to happen. Actually, this statement's not about God, but about Bob. And when we were first dating, he had one last test, and that was to meet my family. And we I belong to a church in Detroit, East Side, Our Savior's Lutheran. Huge church, big congregation, very active. We had three pastors, Pastor Buheimer, his son John, and Pastor Schultz. So they were known as Father, Son, and Holy Schultz. And from Sunday school on, we were taught, if you sing, you sang with loud and proud and rock the roof, as Brenda was saying earlier. So that's what my family always did. Unfortunately, my mother, myself, my brothers, we were always off key, but we were loud. And Bob's test was to sit between my mother and I, and we were singing Holy, 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 and God bless him, he didn't flinch, he didn't cover his ears, and he passed the test. And that's my message. Thank you.
So,
though I may speak, this is a lovely rendition of the 1 Corinthians 13 verse about love. It was originally a traditional English melody, and then Hal Hopson adapted it to the words in 1 Corinthians. I've sung this at so many weddings. It's just a lovely song about love.
I grew up relatively near to the ocean in Massachusetts, so I had plenty of opportunity to play in the ocean. I knew the smell of the ocean, I knew the taste of the ocean, I knew the feel of the salt as it dried on my skin. I didn't actually experience waves in the ocean until I was in college and I visited the West Coast in California. And there I learned that you could go just a little bit out from the shore, and as a really big wave was coming, if you jump at just the right time, you could ride it into shore. And it was a lot of fun. And I also learned that if you did not jump at just the right time, it could take you off your feet and tumble you over and over and over under the water. One time, the ground came up to hit me, but it was kind of strange because it felt like it was coming from about there. The ocean, vast, unmeasurable, powerful, even dangerous, but life-giving and life-affirming. I requested this next hymn because it compares God's love to the ocean. When I sing a song, when I sing a hymn, it's often an expression of what I'm feeling and what I believe. It's often also a prayer, and I sing this as a prayer that I would know God's love, vast, unmeasurable, powerful, not even safe all the time, if you can catch my reference to Narnia, overwhelming, disorienting, good, life-affirming, and life-giving. May God give us this experience of his love.
Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord.
My favorite hymns got picked already. It was Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I'll just tell you the story about Great is Thy Faithfulness for me. It was Doug Behringer's favorite hymn, and many of you would know we were really close friends. And I can remember crying all through it during his funeral, and I couldn't sing it. And it was probably 10 years before I could sing it without choking up. But I'll have you know that I made it through today, just fine. So I want to give John Barr a chance to pick his favorite hymn. Do you have one, John?
I do. I would like us to sing number 11, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Number 11, first verse, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Another favorite song of mine, which we didn't sing today and we're not gonna, but I want to tell you why it's my favorite song, because it started me as a singer. It was, I wrote it down. It was When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And the reason, Dan Saylor, that it's my favorite is because about 20 years ago, we had a little, a little play that we did in Mitchell Hall. John Barr was in it. Remember that, John? We did a little play. It was an Easter season play. And I had never sang, but I signed up to be in this play, and we were playing the parts of three soldiers, and we had to sing this piece, and I never sang in front of anybody in my life. And so I sang the piece with the guys, and somehow through that process I learned to be a singer, and not soon after that I joined the choir and figured out that I could do it. So we're not going to sing that one because we're going to pick somebody else's hymn right now. Who's got the pick? Well, somebody who really makes a lot of noise, catches me from across the room, ought to be able to get their selection in. Chris Thomas. Okay, my verse 3 and verse 4. Verses 3 and 4, number 324, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Man, do I have connections around here. I'll tell you.
I am going to play a song called As the Deer Panteth for the Water, which is the way I'm feeling right now. It was a popular song in the 1980s by Christian artist Martin Nystrom. The FM radio station WMUZ played this popular song a lot back then. It is based on Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. I heard this song played by the church praise band when Doug Berenger was pastor in the early 2000s. The idea for the praise band was to attract younger parishioners to the church. My mother, Marilyn, and her husband, John Holden, were attending the church at that time. They were young at heart. I joined my mother and stepdad in attending church here. I was going through a divorce at this time after 13 years of marriage. I brought my two sons, Peter and Chris, here too. By the way, I talked recently with Peter on the phone. He's in California selling life insurance. I was agonizing on how to keep my family together when it was falling apart. When I heard the joyful music of the praise band, my spirits were lifted up. I hope the song lifts your spirits too.
Okay, next I get to tell you about one of my favorite hymns, and I think it's in the program, so it's not a surprise. My song is Love Unknown. This was a favorite, I think, of many several years ago. I'm thinking like through the 90s here. It was in our old hymnal, and it's a beautiful hymn. And I think it was always my favorite because of the amazing combination of the words. It's just sheer poetry. And the beauty of the music, it's unusually It's amazing how the music goes with the words. I mean, I think the very best songs and hymns are like that, that it seems like they were meant for each other, the music and the words. And so it was in that general sense, but now since I made it my choice and I looked at it more closely, there's more about it that I think is amazing. Very briefly, it's five verses long. We'll just do the first and the last verse, but it's a Lent song. And in the middle, two, three, and four verses are all about the Passion story, the amazing story of Good Friday. And then the first verse is sort of sets it up, and it's a verse that speaks of our amazement of God's love for us and what he did for us. So it sets up the Good Friday story, and then the last verse reflects back on it and says about how I'd love to sing this song, this amazing story, forever in God's presence and sing him praises. So, and as I said, the words are magical. And so, and this the chords and everything. Isn't it beautiful? So we'll sing it. But in the last verse, it struck me as I was working on, looking at this more closely. This is my friend in whose sweet praise. And I thought, this is my friend. That's unusual, I think. But it reminded me, and, you know, we were just talking about the praise band. And this song, so many of these great songs remind me, there's a song that we used to sing in the praise band that has the same message, and it's the same story with the same setup about the Good Friday story, and it's Redeemer, Savior, Friend. And I often, here's how it goes, you'll remember it, I'm just not going to play all of it, but I know you had me on your mind when you climbed upon that hill. For you saw me with the eternal eyes when I was yet in sin. Redeemer, Savior, Friend. So I'm sure some of you remember that. And I sometimes, to be perfectly honest, sometimes when I'm praying, I think about Redeemer, Savior, Friend, because that intimate friendship on top of everything else that our Lord is to us, is something special, and there's an amazing comfort and security in that. And so I was happy to see, I don't know why I'm having trouble with this mic, but in any event, I was happy to see that same concept here in my song, Is Love Unknown. So let's sing it. And again, focus in on 1 and 5 and how it's just a story of our gratitude for his amazing love for us.
This is a story about just checking in. A minister passed through his church in the middle of the day, decided to pause by the altar to see who came to pray. Just then the back door opened and a man came down the aisle. The minister frowned as he saw the man hadn't shaved in a while. His shirt was torn and shabby. His coat was worn and frayed. The man knelt down and bowed his head, then rose and walked away. In the days that followed at precisely noon, the preacher saw this chap. Each time he knelt just for a moment with a lunch pail in his lap. While the minister's suspicions grew, with robbery a main fear, he decided to stop and ask the man, "What are you doing here?" The old man said he was a factory worker, and lunch was half an hour. Lunchtime was his prayer time for finding strength and power. "I only stay a moment," he said, "because the factory is far away. As I knelt here talking to the Lord, this is kind of what I say. I just came by to tell you, Lord, how happy I have been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So Jesus, this has been just checking in today. The minister, feeling rather foolish, told Ben that it was fine. He told the man that he was welcome to pray there any time. "It's time to go, and thanks," Ben said as he hurried to the door. There the minister knelt right there at the altar, which he had never done before. His cold heart melted, warmed with love, as he met with Jesus there. As the tears flowed down his cheeks, he repeated old Ben's prayer. "I just came by to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I don't know much how to pray, but I think about you every day. So, Jesus, this is me just checking in today." Well, past noon one day, the minister noticed that old Ben hadn't come. As more days passed and still no Ben, he began to worry some. At the factory, he asked about him, learning that he was ill. The hospital staff was worried, but he had given them a thrill. The week that Ben was with them brought changes in the ward, his smiles and joys contagious. Changed people were his reward. The head nurse couldn't understand why Ben could be so glad. With no flowers, no calls, no cards came, not a single visitor he had. The minister stayed by his bed. He voiced the nurse's concern. No friend had come to show that they cared. He had nowhere to turn. Looking surprised, old Ben spoke up and with a winsome smile. Ben said, "The nurse is wrong. She couldn't know. He's been here all the while. Every day at noon he comes here, a dear friend of mine, you see. He sits right down and takes my hand, leans over and says to me, 'I just came by to tell you, Ben, how happy I have been since we found this friendship and I took away your sin. I think about you always, and I love to hear you pray. And so, Ben, this is Jesus just checking in today.'" If this story blesses you, pass it on. Many people will walk in and out of your life, but only true friends will leave a footprint in your heart. May God hold you in the palm of his hand just checking in today. As I was reading that story, and it is a story that reminds me of the hymn which we're going to sing, "I Love to Tell the Story." And I think "I Love to Tell the Story," it was reflected upon many other disciples that went out and spoke his word. And in the interest of time, let's just sing the first verse. "I Love to Tell the Story," number 444 in your handout.
I love to tell the story. Abide With Me. The lyrics to this beloved hymn were written by Henry Francis Light, a Scottish poet and Anglican priest who ministered to a small English fishing community in the mid-1800s. Henry was in poor health for most of his life and finished Abide With Me only 3 weeks before his death from tuberculosis in 1847. The song was first sung publicly at his memorial service to a melody he wrote for it, but the tune we know it by today, called Eventide, was composed by William Henry Monk in 1861. The hymn is a prayer for God to be present in the closing days of his life, and his prayer seems to have been answered because the clergyman attending him in his final hours reported that his last words were an exclamation, "Peace, joy." My interest in this hymn was kindled in 1969 when I was preparing to return home from a stay in India as an exchange student, one of the formative experiences of my life. In the car on the way to the airport, my host sister made a last-minute request. Could I send her the lyrics to Abide With Me? There wasn't time to find out why a 19-year-old Hindu girl would be interested in an English Christian hymn most commonly associated with illness and aging. But years later, I learned the answer. Abide With Me was Mahatma Gandhi's favorite hymn. It was played at his funeral and is played in India by the combined bands of the armed forces each year on January 26th during the celebrations of Republic Day, which commemorate the effective date of India's constitution in 1950 and its establishment as a republic. Gandhi was a Hindu, not a Christian, although he once considered converting until he tried to attend a Christian service in Calcutta and was told by an usher to go worship with his own kind. I hate to think of how many Christians we've lost that way. However, he studied the New Testament and revered the teachings of Jesus, especially the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' words in Matthew 5:39. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. His campaign of nonviolent resistance to British rule incorporated those teachings, and his methods, in turn, were later adopted by Dr. Martin Luther King during the American Civil Rights Movement. The inspiration for Henry Light's hymn was likely Luke 24:29, which describes disciples encountering Christ on the road to Emmaus, asking him to abide with us, for it is evening and the day is almost spent. The phrase is also used in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 and 15, by Jesus in foretelling God's sending of the Holy Spirit to his disciples and in explaining the interconnection of Christ and his church. When Pastor Chris preached on these chapters last year, he talked about the meaning of the word abide as it is used in those passages. He explained that it meant something more than its common synonym, stay or remain, but signifies a deeper spiritual indwelling and an inseparable and independent connection. Chris, I know if I got that wrong, you'll set me straight. That concept and the words of the hymn are meaningful to me because it's the way I've always experienced my faith. Nothing dramatic, no thunderbolts, no grand pronouncements or scales falling from my eyes, just a quiet and constant sense of presence that does not fail in good times or in bad. The hymn expresses perfectly the universal longing, the need for God's presence that all of his children have in common, regardless of culture or creed, all around the world. Let us sing verses 1 and 3 of Abide With Me.
Marvelous idea that you had. And it was really interesting listening to many of the hymns that you chose. It reminded me that many of you grew up in denominations outside of the Presbyterian Church. I likewise was brought up a Missouri Synod Lutheran. And if you know anything about the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, at least the one I attended, it was very strict and proper. I remember at confirmation, the pastor met with the confirmants out in the narthex, and we were kind of joking around, we were a little nervous, and he said, "Wipe that smile off of your face the minute you enter the sanctuary." So it was a pretty tough church. Well, about 30 years ago, as a matter of fact, 30 years ago this June, Lynn and I will be celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. And thank you. And I remember when we started dating, she brought me to this church. And I remember the pastor that was speaking was John Musgrave. And he was a rather young pastor, much like Pastor Chris. And I remember he started his sermon by telling a joke. And I thought the floor was going to split and we were all going to descend into hell. But I really learned what worship is all about. It's coming joyfully to God. So the hymn that I picked before we do the Apostles' Creed, I want to tell you a little bit about. It is a hymn that is the battle hymn of the Reformation, the hymn that all Lutherans know, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," written by Martin Luther. This was based on Psalm 46. And really, the reason why I know this hymn so well is not because of singing it in church, but on Sunday morning, if you're a child of the 60s like I am, I remember my parents, we had a small bungalow with one bathroom, and so they would get us ready for church and plop us in front of the television set. And there was a show on called Davy and Goliath. Do you remember that? Claymation? It was awesome. And it was about a boy and his dog, and it was produced by the Lutheran Church. But the neat thing is, the theme song that kicked off the show each week was "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." So let's sing it.
If the choir could join us up front, for "My Knives Have Seen the Glory." Given the time, I'll keep this really, really brief. To me, this song has always spoken to me of the promise of our living God, his promise of salvation through Jesus, and that his truth will march on despite anything and everything that this world can throw at us. His truth is marching on.